Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
Let's be honest, the bar is not real high right,
right
now.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
It sounds really cool.
No, it's not cool.
Can you bring a picture up?
Are you kidding me?
All foreigners love Chicago teams.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
A lot of booze, parties, women showing you the goods for beads. It doesn't get any better than that.
Smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
When I heard about this, I wanted to come up with some kind of articulate and thoughtful and, you know, well-debated response. This is just stupid.
Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter @BackseatZach or @BackseatJack.
Ah, you're back in the backseat. It's the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati alongside James Troiano and Adam Tully. It is a great time of the year to be a sports fan. NBA regular season coming down the stretch. Oh yeah, the NHL playoffs have kicked off this past week. As you heard Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports breakdown for us last week on the show. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we've got Michael Jong from fishstripes.com, a Marlins blogger. He's going to break down that situation in Miami where Ozzie Guillen made some controversial statements, to say the least. And James, breaking news across the wire, the Penguins just gave up another goal.
And the game's over. That's amazing.
The Penguins just got scored on again.
Do you
again.
See the smile on my face? I feel like I just had sex.
He doesn't have anything to compare that to, but I'll go with it.
I can't stop smiling. That was one of the most satisfying playoff games I've ever watched.
Yeah, it was.
As a Flyers fan.
Oh, for any of you that aren't hockey fans, this is a human entertainment.
You're missing
It's not, you don't have to be a hockey fan.
Let me tell you something. I watched this game with a lot of Flyers fans, but I also watched it with some people that weren't
Big
really...
Dave?
No.
Big Dave wasn't there?
No, no, he wasn't. Excuse me.
It's Big Dave.
I'm talking. And I watched it with some people that weren't even fans of hockey, and they were enthralled at the intensity level.
Right.
Because that's what it is. It's the intensity. It's the competitive. You can feel it. Like, you can feel, in a game like the Flyers and Penguins, you can feel
What's on the line.
You can feel the hate. Like, like you're just like, oh my God, it's boiling over right now. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And it would have been even worse if it was a close game, but Marc-Andre Fleury is bad. So, look at me like that.
20 goals in the first three games.
I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
20 goals in the first three games for the Flyers and 8 in each of the last two.
We're not going to talk about this now, are we?
Yeah. We're going to get into
Where are Crosby and Malkin for that whole series, man?
Donde estas Crosby y Malkin?
Si.
I think I messed that up.
No. That was right.
I was thinking one thing in English and another thing came out in Spanish. That's what Ozzie Guillen would say.
Yeah, donde está.
Yeah, okay.
See.
I have no idea where they are.
Greg.
The whole team just.
Greg told us last week that Crosby and Malkin were definitely on the Conn Smythe watch.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but it's not the whole team because.
I wouldn't have been shocked.
Jordan Staal's there, and so is.
And Neil.
Yeah, James Neal.
See, like, I wouldn't have been shocked if the Flyers, you know, obviously it's not over yet, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Flyers won. But I would be shocked if they swept a team.
Yeah, that's fair
to
say.
Who was supposed to be. Out of the, the book is the Las Vegas win the Stanley
Cup. Whose book? Not my book. I had the Flyers all the way, and I'm looking good right now. I am looking good.
All right. Well, as many of you know, baseball season kicked off just before last weekend, and there's already been plenty of storylines, and some of them come from off the field as well. And that's why we reached into our bag of guests and grabbed Michael Jong from fishstripes.com to break down some of what's going on down there in Miami. Ozzie Guillen still wrapping up his suspension. All right, we've got Michael Jong with us now from the fishstripes.com Marlins blog, a Marlins expert, so to speak, and he's going to run down with us that everyone has heard. James, you're familiar with it also, the Ozzie Guillen situation. He said in an interview with Time magazine that he loved Fidel Castro, that he respected them for staying in power for so long. Obviously, in a place like Miami, that's going to cause a little bit of trouble. Michael, what was your initial reaction when you first heard about these comments from Guillen?
Well, obviously, I'm not a part of the Cuban community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Hispanic, so I don't have the same visceral strong tie to the word or to the mentioning of Fidel Castro as members of the Cuban community probably do. So it's understandable why I would have a more sort of leveled or toned-down approach than some of the members of the community that are boycotting or have been protesting recently.
Right.
But having said that, there's one thing to say. I understand what Gan was trying to say, even if he wasn't going to end up having it spun correctly for him.
Right, right.
But on the other hand, it's just one of those things you just don't say. And that's the first thing I thought to my mind. I just said to myself, that's not something you would say, especially when you live in South Florida, when you work for a team in the Miami Marlins that's trying to brand itself with the Latin community in South Florida, is trying to make its ties to Miami and South Florida. It's just not one of those things that you make mention of. And I'm puzzled that he would make a comment like that without thinking about the ramifications of it.
Yeah, it's probably the worst place you could possibly make those comments, no matter, you know, where you might be managing. James, you said that you are kind of wondering how this is affecting the team so far, especially since he has to serve this suspension.
Yeah.
Well, the team hasn't been really affected, I don't think. So they've been trying to recover, if anything. But the suspension isn't really hurting him too badly. I don't think current acting manager Joey Cora is really doing a whole lot different than Ozzie Guillen would.
Hey, Michael, James here. Does this change people's perspective of the team? I know there was a lot of buzz surrounding the team before the season started, and Ozzie said in his press conference afterward that the last time he was sitting in that big conference room, there was a lot of optimism surrounding the team, and he'd hope the next time he was in that conference room, speaking with employees, reporters that, you know, it was going to be sitting next to a World Series trophy and so on and so forth, and he was upset that those were the circumstances.
I think it's going to be a little more of a challenge. Obviously, these sort of comments, there's always going to be a contingent of Marlins fans who are very closely tied to the Cuban community and have very strong belief about the politics of that situation, the politics of U.S.-Cuban relations and the situation with Fidel Castro and his reign of power in Cuba. So there's always going to be a group of people, a group of fans, that are going to be upset about this. And no matter what the Marlins do to assuage that group, it's never going to be enough. And they're always going to be incensed with Ozzie Guillen and with the Miami Marlins. So those people are not going to ever be happy with the team after this situation.
Well, Michael...
Yes.
Like you mentioned, you know, they're trying to this franchise is going through a rebirth. I mean, a big one, and it's an important time in this franchise. They've got new name, Miami Marlins, new uniforms, new stadium, and some new players that they acquired this offseason, and Ozzie was a new manager. All that being said, do you think that there could have been a different time in this franchise's history that Ozzie could have gotten fired for these comments? Because let's face it, there have been times when the Marlins, August, September, there's 2,000 people at those games. And, you know, there were different situations where do you think that they only held it to 5 games because they're trying to keep together a atmosphere of excitement right now?
I actually think if there was a time to have Ozzie Guillen fired for his comments, it would be now, because the team really wants to connect to the community in South Florida. I mean, for the longest time, you're right, there weren't people visiting the stadium. There weren't fans coming out to see the team. And now there is genuine excitement, like you said, and the Marlins don't want to do anything that would upset that balance and upset the interest that is already in the club. So I think if there was a time to let go again for something he said, something like this in particular, it would have been now, with the Cuban community incensed about the comments, that they would have taken action and let him go. And the fact that they kept it to 5 games means that, A, they may not want to further invest money into another manager, or more likely that they feel that the situation can blow over, and that, like I said, a certain part of the community will always be mad, and they'll never be able to make up for what he said to that part of the community. So they're hoping that the 5-game suspension is enough for the general population of Marlins fans, and that the majority of us will recover and will want to go back to watching baseball, watching Marlins baseball,
right?
A brand of baseball that should be exciting in 2012.
All right, Michael, we're going to put you on the spot here, man. If you were the GM of the Marlins, would you fire Ozzie Guillen or suspend him for more or less games?
I actually think as if I were the acting general manager that I would suspend him for 5 games as well. Possibly a few less, but given the situation, I think the 5-game suspension is appropriate. I think firing Ozzie Guillen would not have made the Cuban community any more happy. I've been hearing recent interviews with people who were protesting at the stadium during Guillen's apology, who's saying that there was nothing that was going to make them accept his apology, that they weren't even listening to his apology. So those members of the community, there's nothing they're going to do. And so I think firing him would be a mistake. 5-game suspension seemed appropriate, and I think I'm glad to see that the Marlins did take action, take immediate action, but were not overboard with their action.
I agree. I'm not a fan of ever calling for anybody's job. I think that is, in most cases, that's always an overboard solution. In cases like this, reporters and everybody else, they ask Ozzie Guillen these questions, hoping to get this type of response, and then it blows up in everyone's face when he does. If you don't mind, if we could switch gears for a little bit, we have some other questions about the NL East here for you. So far, it's been a topsy-turvy week, a couple weeks here. And we just want to kind of get your take on kind of going through team by team here. What do you make of this Mets early season good form?
I think the Mets are benefiting from some early season hot streaks by a couple of their players.
Yeah, David Wright. David Wright is on one heck of a hot streak.
Exactly, and it's great to see that Wright is playing well, and he's doing particularly well. And he should perform decently this season. But a first couple games of a season, we're up to 10 games this year. There's nothing really conclusive that you can draw, and there's nothing that really changes my mind that says that the Mets are probably the least competitive team in the National League East. They've got some problems. They definitely have issues with the back end of their pitching staff, and a lot of the players that they're fielding at the various positions are subpar or below average. So I don't think that the recent hot streak changes my opinion much of where they'll likely end up at the end of the season.
Well, Michael, the Braves and Phillies have both shown in the first 10 games that they do have good pitching, and everyone already knew that. The hitting has kind of been on and off for both the Braves and the Phillies. Is it fair to say that people can still expect those two teams to be the top two in September?
I think in the case of the Philadelphia Phillies, they're going to be carried by their starting staff. They're going to be carried by Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, and Cole Hamels. But their offense is in really bad shape, and you could see that right at the start of the season. When you're starting players like Freddie Galvis in place of Chase Utley, and when you're trying to play a 40-plus-year-old Jim Thome at first base when he hasn't played there since 2007, and you're working with that, Ty Wigington, and John Mayberry Jr. as an attempt to fill in first base for Ryan Howard, you're looking at an offense that's going to struggle. I mean, the Phillies don't have much firepower beyond Shane Victorino and Hunter Pence. The remainder of their position players are below-average hitters or at best average hitters. So I think that they're going to have a serious issue scoring runs this season, especially with Utley having been gone for a long period of time, even dating back to the last season, and with Howard out at least through May. This might be a tough stretch for the Philadelphia Phillies. As far as the Braves are concerned, I think the Braves have a better chance of bouncing back. If manager Freddie Gonzalez doesn't get in the way and try to overmanage that team, looking at the platoons and things like that for players like Jason Hayward and just letting them sort of recover and regress to their natural means, I think the Braves will be back to where somewhere along where they were in 2011 in terms of offense. But having said that, that is not great offense either. And so the Braves and Phillies are probably among the lesser hitting teams in the NL East.
So, Michael, what do you make of the Washington Nationals?
The Nationals are an interesting team. Obviously, they're very young. They have a great core of starting pitchers with Steven Strasburg, Jordan Zimmermann, and Gio Gonzalez, whom they acquired this offseason. Their offense is led by Ryan Zimmermann, if he can ever get back to form. And obviously last season was a little bit of a struggle. And Jason Worth, another guy who needs to recover from his pre-2011 form. So I'm guessing if they have a good And they have a pretty good chance of seeing both those guys regress to something like their pre-2011 forms. And if they do that, they're actually a competitive team in the National League East. Prior to the season, I would put them at around 85 wins, which puts them pretty close and certainly within striking distance of the NLB division and the wild card spot.
Well, close to your heart, when you experienced as a Marlins guy all these moves that they made in the offseason, obviously, you know, we've already gone over how much more excitement there was this offseason for the Marlins in Miami. Coming into April, what were your expectations for the 2012 Marlins season, and what have you seen so far that could point towards those expectations?
I expected, prior to the season, I had guessed that the Marlins would win 86 games. And again, just like the Nationals, that would put them in the thick of the race for the National League East division and the wild card. So right now, from what I've seen, a little bit of disappointment in the sense that the offense still hasn't gotten going. Aside from a couple of hitters, the team's offense has really been slow. But I think offense around the league has been a little slow as well, so it's not too concerning. The pitching staff is also a bit of a concern, particularly Josh Johnson has had two very subpar starts. His velocity is not up like it should be in the range that he'd been pitching through 2011. And so that's something to look into as we go forward into the season. As far as what may point towards positive side, the rest of the pitching staff has done decently. It's not as good as I would have liked to see, but they are definitely making strides, and it's certainly an improvement over 2011. So that may be a positive aspect to look at in 2012.
So, Michael, real quick, Philly still the team to beat in the NL East?
I think the Phillies are the team to beat in the NL East for the moment, but it's very, very close. I don't think the Braves or Marlins are more than two games away from the Phillies. And with that, I mean, you get a ball bounced the right way here or there in a division game, and suddenly you've changed the tide of the division race entirely. So I think it's a wide-open race. Three or four teams may be involved.
Well, James had a mischievous smile on his face as he asked that question. He is a Phillies homer every now and then. But, Michael, we really appreciate it. That was Michael Jong from fishstripes.com. Anything you need to know about what's going on with the Miami Marlins, they are going to be a team to talk about this season. Michael's got it there at fishstripes.com. Michael, we really appreciate it.
Good stuff. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks, James. Thanks for having me.
Again, that's Michael Jong from fishstripes.com. Go there and check out, he updates frequently. Go there and check out his info on the Miami Marlins. Coming up next, we've got a segment of the Bizarre. We haven't done that in a while. We're going to break down what's been going on in the NHL playoffs so far, plus really give you a truly bizarre story coming up next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
That is on Twitter at backseatzach and backseatj, Z-A-C and J-A-Y. It's time for The Bizarre. And as you hear Elton bringing us in with Philadelphia Freedom, players were free to do just about anything they wanted in Philadelphia today in Game 3 of the Flyers-Penguins series, which the Flyers now lead 3-0. Wow. As James said earlier, that was about as satisfying as any sporting event can be.
For him.
It was a violent couple of last regular season games between the Flyers and Penguins.
Oh, yeah. Coaches standing there to the bench.
And it only got worse.
They were standing on the bench.
Yeah,
like
coaches.
Like,
yeah. Going toe-to-toe.
Yeah, and that hasn't been the only series where we've seen plenty of violence. No. St. Louis and San Jose. How many penalty minutes?
162 penalty
minutes. Just at the end of the game?
And I think 90 of those came after the final whistle.
Wow. And then we saw some really ugly, really ugly hits in the Rangers-Senators game two from last night. So, yeah. Again, if you're not a hockey fan, there is plenty to enjoy in these NHL playoffs. It's human entertainment.
Hockey's a real man sport.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of people like on Facebook that I know they don't follow hockey like, you know, regular season. I would. Yeah. And they actually commented like, wow, this year's hockey playoffs has been amazing.
Well, Tully is our resident hockey expert, you know, if we have to name one,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I'll go with that title.
And I mean, Tully, what has been the biggest surprise so far to you in the play? I mean, East or West? What's been the biggest surprise?
So far in the East, it has to be the 3-0 lead that the Flyers now
have.
Wait,
all right. Is it the 3-0 lead, or is it the way in which the games have gone?
Yeah, to me, that's...
Because,
that's...
in my opinion, it's not only that it's 3-0, it's that the Flyers have pretty much looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't been, they have not really been stopped
right, because
by the Penguins.
Let's just say, for example, they go up 3-0, but it's like every game went to overtime. Then you could say, oh man, it's 3-0, but Pittsburgh could just as easily be up 3-0.
Yeah, very
but
true.
But no,
yeah.
These past two games, they've just steamrolled
like eight,
them physically.
Eight goals in the last
and
two
And can
games.
I just say, I am so glad that physical hockey is back because, you know, you remember, Tully, the first time we went to Phillips Arena for a preseason game after the lockout, the referees were calling penalties for everything. And 05, 06, a hockey fan had to watch the NHL and see it was like Olympic hockey. It was a different brand. And I mean, there were some things that were exciting about it because there was a lot of goals scored, a lot of power plays, 5-on-3s. Those are fun to watch. But I'm so glad that physical, violent hockey is back because that wasn't the case for a few years after the lockout. But, it, you know, it's there's an ebb and flow to any sports league. It's come back around.
Now on the flip side, because you got all these, you know, concussion problems now, you know, Crosby was out for almost a year and a half. Sedin's out. He hasn't played yet in these playoffs. I can't remember his name. It's Daniel, I think. I don't know which,
yeah, it is
which
Daniel
one
Sedin.
Of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he got a nasty, you know, dirty cheap shot to the head. I think it was the last game of the season. Just stuff like, you know, Alfredson, shot to the head. I mean.
Shouldn't the Los Angeles Kings 2-0 lead over Vancouver also qualify for a surprise?
Yes, in the West so far, that's you know.
Right.
I predicted an upset because the Kings, even though they are the eighth seed, they have a really good team.
But you probably didn't predict that they would take the first two games in Vancouver.
No.
You know.
No.
So anytime an eight goes up like that on a one seed, then that's definitely.
And they play tonight, so they could be very much in the same spot as the Flyers, which is holding a 3-0 lead on, well, Pittsburgh's not a number one seed, but Vancouver is, though.
That Mike Richards trade for the Kings and the Flyers, that was a good trade for both those teams.
Yeah, sometimes it works out.
We got Simmons and the draft pick that Grossman? Became Couturier.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Couturier.
Sometimes trades just work out really well
Couturier,
for both teams.
What was he like? I think game two he got a hat trick, and he was like the fourth ever
he's
in
18.
NHL history to get a hat trick.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Emmerich and the NBC crew today was just saying, you know, imagine him when he's 21, 22, and that's, you know, it's crazy when 21 and 22 is four more years for some of these athletes that start really
young.
Makes
me feel old.
I'm sitting on my couch like a beer, and I'm like, dude is 8 years younger than me. Like, what have I done with my life?
I know.
What is happening right now? Where has it gone?
I felt the same way. I don't, you know, James, I know you saw the tweet last night when I was, and that's at Backseat Zach, by the way. ZAC last night at Turner Field, you know, Kelly and I were sitting up in section 407, had to get those not so cheap seats at the last minute yesterday. And I know you're familiar with this. There was a fraternity / sorority get together at the Braves game last night.
Yeah.
And they had like a block of four or five. Yeah. They had t-shirts on too. They had a block of like four or five rows in front of us.
It's called a social.
A social,
yes,
okay.
Social.
So they were wearing their shirts.
Is that where, they all get the t-shirts that say...
Yeah, it's like...
Beta Kappa Phi Night Out.
Yeah,
it's like the Miller Lite logo or something like that.
No.
Yeah,
there said Sigma Alpha Delta or something.
Sure.
And then had a picture of Turner Field that said, if you don't love the Braves, you don't love baseball. Well, that's an ultimatum. James, how do you feel about that one?
Well, that's just, on its most base level, that is stupid.
Right. So they start, you know, they start filling up the section in the third inning. Yeah. That probably doesn't surprise you.
Yeah.
So, you know, the crowd builds up, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, and I don't realize until I start thinking it, well, this is a really, you know, sweet-looking group of fraternity and sorority kids from the local middle school, and wait a minute. Middle schools don't have fraternities. Mm. They looked like they were 15.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt so old last night.
Did they look like they were 15 or act like they were 15?
Both. Looked more like it, but yes, they did act like it. Because, I mean, you know how baseball fans at a Braves game are pretty patient, but, you know how, like, being at a hockey game, if someone's in the way, that's you give them about 3 seconds before you yell, sit down. You know, if they're in the way and the puck is in play.
Can I give you a quick funny story about an experience I had with a fraternity at a Braves game?
Please do.
All right. I actually want to hear this.
So we went. It was not this past season. It was the season before that when the Phillies were
also known as 2010.
They were still, you know, they were still like they're still a powerhouse.
Right.
And
they were hitting.
I went with a good group of Phillies fans. You know, there was probably a good eight of us.
Okay. So you had a little bit of a crowd.
Right. And we always sit pretty high in the general area of the frat area, mm-hmm. you know, not as many families, just typically younger people. And we had pre-gamed, you know, the game was, it was a 7:30 game, and we had really pre-gamed since, like, you know, we probably got down there by at 2.
Pre-gamed for a while.
We had a good 5 hours in us, and we walk in, and we're just screaming Phillies at the top of our lungs, second place.
Oh, that's
all this stuff.
That's just so weird, because that doesn't sound like the James Troiano I know.
My friend, when I was at the Thrashers game, I was like, oh, that's my friend flicking off the whole stadium.
That did happen. James Troiano, at about age 19, I think.
Yeah, give or take.
Put up both middle fingers on the big screen at Phillips Arena at a Flyers game.
And I'm still not allowed to sit with my parents at a sporting event.
That is a true story.
I've been banned. I've been banned from going to sporting events. My stepdad was like, I will never go to another game with you again.
That was the poster child for anywhere.
And let it not be forgotten that the whole reason why that happened is because he and his brother were on the Kiss cam.
Wearing the Flyer jerseys. That a moment like that will never happen again. Because the Kiss cam was on, and I go, Vinny, if we get on that Kiss cam, I'm flicking it off. In words just like that. I don't think he believed me, and I definitely don't think Dave believed me.
And meanwhile...
It came on me. Like, what am I supposed to do? Sit there and take it? No.
Meanwhile, every time the Tullys went to a Thrashers Leafs game, Liam told Adam here that if they got in the Kiss game, that he was going to kiss him.
Bro, I'm going to kiss you.
Completely different plan there.
Well, completely different
nationality, right?
Sexual tendencies as well.
What European style in there?
No. Look, all kidding aside, that was a. There was way more people there than I thought that I knew, and
at the Braves game.
No,
right at the Thrashers.
I had like people coming up to me. And they're like,
no, you know what? Tully and I were both there. Tully and I were. It's funny. Yeah. The three of us were all there in different spots.
Yeah,
and when that happened, I knew where Tully was sitting, and I looked at him.
Yeah,
I looked right up at him, and I made sure he had seen that. It was kind of like one of those Peter Quagmire at the opera. Like, Tully and I kind of like shared a moment of eye contact, giggle from like 500 feet away.
It was one of those. I could hear all right, over.
So you enter the plaza at Turner Field in 2010.
Yes, back to all the right, Braves.
You're inebriated.
We're in that area anyway. So we're parading up. Okay, mm-hmm. and we are just canned. All right, that's the word I will use. And we're parading up, chanting, "Let's go Phillies!" You know, causing general dismay or
disruption.
Disruption.
Yeah, yeah.
Mayhem.
News.
So we get up. We
disruption
get up
and mayhem.
Seats.
That's where dismay came from.
We
disruption
get up. It was the game where the Phillies were losing bad. They were losing by 3 runs, I think, most of the game. And Jimmy Rollins hit a grand slam, and we ended up winning.
Okay.
So we get up there, right? And we could not have been in a worse spot for, like, our personal safety. It was like, frat guys were, like, this way. We had people yelling at us from, like, that way. And we're just sitting there yelling, right? And, like, we're just yelling. It's whatever. Phillies are getting killed. But we're just yelling, you know, this and that. And you know, yelling back and forth, right? And it's like, I don't know. I was a little bit, you know, like, hazy. But all I remember is, like, 30 or 40 guys just screaming nasty, nasty stuff at us, right? Like, all kinds of stuff. And then, like, I go up. I remember this one time. Like, I went up. Like, my buddy Donnie, who was all, you know, we were all, he goes up. Anyway, so we get back, right? And it's like, the game's dragging on. You know how baseball games are.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start drinking it, too. You start getting a little sleepy. And like, it's like 9, 10 o'clock. And I'm still going strong, right? And I'm just in my own little world. I'm chanting these Braves fans. I turn over, I go, right, Donnie, dude's passed out. I'm like, I am by myself. I am done. Like, I my whole row of Phillies fans is passed out. And I'm like, we got to get the hell out of here. I'm like, we have got to get out of here. So we just bailed. Like, Jimmy Rollins hit a home run. I was like, you suck. You guys suck. See it. And we just left.
Parting words.
I was like, we got to get out of here.
I'll leave you with this.
Yeah.
You know, there was a last night at Turner Field, there was a shocking amount of Brewers fans talking smack. I'd never seen someone from Wisconsin talk smack about anything in general.
Were they wearing turtlenecks?
No. You know what they love? They all wear the Robin Yount, and Paul Molitor baby blue.
Well, you know what? That's
80s
what Braves
jerseys.
Fans do that with Dale Murphy.
Kind of, but I mean, they were all wearing them. They were all wearing their old stuff. I don't think Brewers fans like the current uniforms.
As a Phillies fan, my favorite type of Braves fan to rag on is one wearing a Cox jersey. for obvious reasons. It's just so easy.
All right. Well, like we said, this...
You mean you didn't get a Peter Laviolette suit?
Another.
I've got a Ron Wilson suit.
Peter Laviolette suit.
The only...
Are we going to make him a naughty for that?
Anyway, I can get under a Braves fan skin, I will do it. including
by nature of Philly,
including
fan.
Yelling at girls with their boyfriends. She loves cocks. She loves cocks. Braves fans love cocks is one of my favorite chants while I'm at a Braves game. But going like
ruining a date night is exactly you are very accurate there with that one.
I feel like sitting at a porta potty, like standing at a porta potty waiting for it next to a girl wearing a cocks jersey, and you're just like, she loves cocks right here. This one loves cocks. And her boyfriend's like, "What the f*** is the matter with you?" Oh, excuse my language. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to curse. We don't do that.
No, well, we're gonna stay here for a few 31 minutes. We're gonna stay here for
I didn't mean to do that.
Few
anyway.
Extra minutes to bleep that one out.
But anyway, those days are behind me.
Brian at Radio Exile demands a certain level of civility from
us. Look, those days are behind me.
Was that our bizarre moment?
No. Tully, I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but James and I are.
Are we doing the bizarre?
We talked briefly about it. This is the bizarre segment.
Okay,
and
back to the bizarre.
Listen, this is a really, really off-the-wall story that we got from HuffPo this past week.
Is that your favorite news site?
It's not my favorite. William
Where would you put it on a scale from 1 to 10? A five.
One to five? Mm-hmm. A two and a half.
A five.
All right. So this story comes from from Nashville, Tully's former place of residence.
Go Preds.
William Todd traveled to Nashville on Monday by Greyhound bus and during a lull in his trip started wreaking havoc at 3 a.m. by breaking into a business and stealing a taser, a revolver, and a shotgun. He proceeded to shoot the place up, steal a t-shirt, and look, if you got three guns, what are you going to steal? Well, a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why go overboard? And then light the building on fire. This is according to Nashville police. Then Todd found four people leaving a nearby bar. He held them at gunpoint, tased one, pistol whipped another, and stole their cash and credit cards. Just 5 minutes later, he allegedly jacked a cab and sped off to spend his victim's money at Walmart. He unloaded $200 and headed for downtown, and that's when things got really weird. He reportedly found a law office, ransacked the place, and defecated on a desk. He smeared feces on some framed law degrees, doesn't like lawyers, before moving on to an adjacent hotel, police said. Inside, Todd allegedly went door-to-door pretending to be a female housekeeper in an attempt to rob guests. So, old Saturday Night Live routine.
Housekeeping?
Yeah. He held a Canadian couple at gunpoint, all right, so doesn't like lawyers or Canadians, and took $600, that accounts to actually $50, crying the whole time, according to WSMV. At about 9 a.m., Todd crashed his stolen cab into a parking garage. 2 hours later, he hailed a new cab and at knife point kicked out the driver. Cops were hot on his tail at this point. He drove to the Opry.
At this point,
yeah.
Only two stars.
He drove to the Opry Mills shopping mall just outside the city center, where he tried to submerge himself in a vat of water with only his nose exposed. But an eagle-eyed officer spotted him and brought his rampage to an end.
Eagle-eyed.
He was just on a terror, said Sergeant Tony Blackburn. I've never seen anything like this before. Cops charged him with crimes like burglary, aggravated assault, and fraud. His bond was set at $180,000. He's also reportedly a wanted man in Kentucky.
Have you guys ever seen, what is a vat of water?
Yeah.
Usually when you hear the word vat, it's followed by something like bacon grease.
Or beer.
Or something with some kind of
absolute poor choice
ingredients.
Value.
Yeah.
You know, a vat of water.
That's one of those pro swine flu moments. Where I'm just like, there's nothing else to do with that guy.
We need to
start trimming the fat with our population.
It's kind of a combination.
There's a few too many people like that.
This story
out there
is kind of a combination of The Hangover and Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
just started.
Yeah, but it happened for real.
What? So he went to go spend the stolen money in Walmart. Is that because Walmart is the nicest store in Nashville?
And apparently he cut off all his hair at some point in the middle of the night as well.
Yeah.
He had long red hair and just decided to chop it all off at some point in the middle of the night.
Listen, if a dog did something similar to that, obviously minus the thing, you know, like
what?
Hailing a cab. If a dog just went on a rampage.
Yeah, if a dog held people at gunpoint, stole a cab, and jumped into a vat of water at a mall.
Brian from Family Guy. No, if a dog went on a little rampage and just like bit people, just like terrorized, like tore up flowers. They were probably like, listen, we're going to put you down. That's what they should do to this guy. I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
They should put him down.
Tully advocates putting people down for any felony.
No, wow. I mean, for something like that.
Just insightful worldviews with Adam Tully.
One
that
incident?
Should be a segment.
Okay.
Hey, James, you know what I'm thankful for today? The fact that Tully can't vote. That's what I'm thankful for.
And own a gun.
He can't own a gun either. That's right.
Can't own a gun.
Constitution doesn't apply to Adam.
No.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, and this could have happened, you know, right in front of you and your wife if you guys still lived in Nashville.
Yeah.
Maybe not at 3:30 in the morning.
No.
But I don't know.
We lived just on the other side of Opry Mills, actually.
So. Well, he
is down.
Watch out for redheads with long hair named Todd.
Yeah, gotta
if you're
go,
in
man.
Nashville. That is something else. We'll make sure to keep you updated on that story if we hear more details
down the line.
Hopefully
there's only one more update, he's dead.
That's what I mean. That's what Tully wants. Hopefully there's only one more update. We'll broadcast from his funeral. That's what we'll do.
I totally would.
Wait, I would totally do that. First of all, it's weird of you to say we'll get you any more updates. And it's weird that you want him dead.
We're not that type of
podcast.
You're
both weird.
Why is that weird? Dude, there's obviously nothing.
It's not weird that you want him dead?
No.
You don't think there's anything wrong with that?
Dude.
It's
no,
normal?
No. Right? No. Like I said, we need to start trimming the fat.
Wow.
There is nothing else.
Trimming the fat.
What is he going to bring to the table for society? Nothing.
You know.
Gotta go. You gotta go. If this was.
Do you love Fidel Castro also? Most guys that start out in their 20s saying, we need to trim the fat. Most of the time they end up as dictators. So when you go apply for your citizenship test, we had that test competition.
We did.
When you go apply for citizenship, when you're in the middle of taking the test, I'm going to break in and tell them about all the dictatorial things that you said on this podcast.
That he doesn't want to ever take it, right?
And paying young children to hit each other.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. You are not qualified to be a citizen. Wow. All right. That was the bizarre. We've got Hottie and Naughty coming up in just a minute on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatj.
That is on Twitter at backseatzach and backseatj, Z-A-C and J-A-Y. Whether you're listening on RadioExiles.com or downloading on iTunes, we appreciate you coming along for the show. This is Hottie and Naughty. Who had a good week? Who had a bad week? Our first Hottie, away teams, low seeds in the NHL playoffs. I believe only five, coming into Sunday, only five of the 15 games were home wins.
Six now that the Flyers won. Six teams.
Yeah, that's something else. That is a lot of competition in the NHL playoffs. It almost makes you think that whoever makes it to the finals is going to be battle-tested if things continue to go this way. I believe the Blues were the only high seed to win their first two games at home.
They lost in overtime.
Oh, okay, right. Did we have a home team that won their first two games?
No.
And that is, you don't see that too often. Our first Naughty in the same vein is, it never gets old piling on. The Penguins, 20 goals conceded to the Flyers in the first three games, 8 in each of the last two games, a lot of girly behavior in game 3.
Just
pulling
no
hair.
Show. Just no show.
Two different players pulling hair. One of them, Sidney Crosby, queen of the NHL.
Well, I think at this point, the Penguins are just upset that they're in this position and they don't really give a
you know what. We know you don't swear.
When you see guys, when it's the end of the third period, you're down by 3 goals and guys are leaving their feet trying to injure guys.
Yeah.
That's just dangerous. That's not funny anymore. And you get the Naughty status for that.
I can't get over the hair pulling. I really. Scott
did
Hartnell
you see
had
Hartnell,
his hair pulled. Yes.
His face. Yes, he's like, did he just pull my hair? Seriously? Did he just do that?
Dude, Hartnell.
This is the NHL, man.
I love Hartnell, a good hard player, but he looks like a bum on skates.
No, he does look like Oscar the Grouch.
He does.
In a Flyers uniform.
Have you seen him in the dressing room?
He's got an up in a ponytail. I'll just take a team of pretty boy looking Crosbys any day over
that's
this.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
Good point.
I mean, because that's. That matters. When you are out there, you want to look good. It's not like soccer. That's why, because Adam, you know, Adam's like used to like soccer
Ronaldo
players that spend an hour in the bathroom like my girlfriend before a soccer game.
Wow. All right, our next Hottie, the LA Dodgers.
I believe that's what Adam does.
I believe the LA Dodgers have started 9-1.
Yeah.
And you know, a few months ago, the Dodgers hadn't been purchased yet. and the season hadn't started. God, you got to feel good in L.A. now. Because we talked about L.A. sports a few months ago on the podcast, and it was funny how the Angels had all the attention, all the positive attention in L.A. this offseason. Yeah, the Dodgers got sold for a big price, and they started 9-1. Tom Gankha, statistician, and James Troiano both said Andre Ethier was going to have a good year. He's off to a great start.
Torrid start.
Arnotti, the MLB injury bug, also in California. Brian Wilson. Drawing the blank.
Yeah, Brian.
The closer.
Yeah.
Out for the year. That is bad news for... bad news for the Giants and bad news for XL Chalupas everywhere.
He's
going to be spending some time
at
home.
I won't miss him.
And also,
I don't wish injuries on anybody. But that guy needed a cooling off period, and he got. years straight now. He's like hurt all the time.
Well, Jacoby Ellsbury, also victim to the MLB injury bug. He's on the 60-day DL. Boston's going to miss him. That's a good player, both defensively and at bat. So
they'll miss that one.
Yeah, that's a good player out for 60 days. You know, our last Hadi Anadi comes in the form of the relationship between sports and fans. And look, you know, when any sports fan remembers being a kid, and you really idolize your favorite athletes, and it's in your wildest dreams sometimes you get to meet them or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, here's a positive story here. Trent Richardson is one of our hotties because this past weekend he took a high school student, I believe her name was Courtney, in Alabama. He took her to prom. She's been battling cancer most of her high school career. Mm-hmm. Great story, great move by Trent Richardson. He's preparing for the NHL draft, finds time to take her to prom. That's awesome.
Stand-up guy.
He's a hottie. You know who's a naughty? Felipe Baloy.
Why?
Panamanian soccer player. He plays in the Mexican League. He was stopped at a shopping mall recently by some fans, and their 5-year-old son wanted to take a picture with him. Okay.
Wearing the jersey.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So, I can take a picture. So he kneels down and take a picture with the kid, and it turns out he's been doing some shopping at the mall.
Mm.
And he's got a shopping bag with him.
What stores has he been to?
Oh, it looks like he'd been to the newsstand. And Felipe had a copy of Playboy, clearly visible in the shopping bag he was holding as he takes a picture of this 5-year-old kid.
Hey man,
wait.
Should have gone brown bag.
Naughty for that?
Should have gone brown bag. Well, say do the brown bag.
He should have gone brown bag. The newsstand should have gone brown bag.
He also should have gone to the internet. Because who buys magazines like that anymore? I guess he
we know how Adam gets his porn.
I guess he likes the reading, right,
from
James?
The internet.
Right, James? It's a good read.
We have gotten so much contribution
nothing wrong
from
with a little
Tully.
Playboy. I am pro read. Go get you some. Guy wants to go get himself a Playboy.
Yeah,
well,
he's kind of ruined the picture, I'm sure, from the parents' view that took it with the little kid. But we've got a lot of good contributions from Tully. He advocates the dark side of the internet, and he wants to pay kids to hit each other. He wants to have first-time felons killed if they rob a lawyer's office. You know,
the first of many stupid things that he did.
I'll say it again. I'm glad he can't vote. What about you?
Sometimes. Okay. No.
I'm glad he can't vote. When we celebrate,
I don't have words.
When we celebrate July 4th and Tully comes along.
Other than when I was coming into the studio tonight, I didn't know that I would learn the information that Tully prefers internet porn to magazine porn.
It's 2012, man. Come on.
Right. Yeah, I don't even... Hey.
Adam, what websites do you prefer?
Nope. That's where the Backseat Sports podcast is going to end. Thank you again to Michael Jong from... And you know, look what we just did to him. We had to throw him right in the middle of that conversation.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, Michael Jong, stand-up guy, for providing some clean analysis of the NL East and the Ozzie Guillen situation. Once again, fishstripes.com is where you can read Michael's work. Also, again, radioexiles.com, whether you listen there or on iTunes. We really appreciate you listening to the show. I'm Zach Diodati for James Troiano and Adam Tully. That was the Backseat Sports Podcast. See you next week.